people and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjo, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Shift and Steer, and you know what? I wasn't here last week, so I'll say, welcome to the party, pals. Welcome
there you
to the party,
go.
Pals. There, I made up for last week. Gentlemen.
I think there's been a few.
I know, I've missed some shows lately. I'm sorry about that, but I have just been pummeled with stuff, and it's all boring stuff, nothing exciting. It's all that mom stuff that I got to take care of, estate stuff, which is never any fun.
Well, no bears, no weather. Well, you got moving. I'm sure you're moving some stuff too, right?
I'm moving some stuff, but you know what? I don't have the vehicles to move like you do, Aaron. I mean, Aaron's moving service is now official.
Hey, it's about creative problem solving, right? That's what an artist truly is at our core, is creative problem solvers. I need to paint this picture. How am I going to do it? I'm going to need to design this. How am I going to do it? Well, in this case, it turns out I can't put storage containers down on the property because the Napa has rules where they want concrete platforms and all this bullshit. So I said, screw it. And I'm going down after the show to buy two moving trucks, which I just sent you pictures of. I got a 16 foot and a 17 foot. Cheap.
White one, you know, has the longest loading ramp I've ever seen.
I know,
seen
right?
In my life.
Like scaffolding. It's like a bridge. But hey, it works, and I'm ready, and now I can hit it hard. I got 2 weeks before SEMA, and I'm going to hit it hard. I'm going to call in the troops and organize it and pack it to the hilt. I don't know how much weight they'll take, but I'm sure I'll go over.
You'll find out.
It doesn't matter. You only need to go once. You just need to
get
Tahoe to Napa. Like, you need to get the trucks home and then from Tahoe to Napa.
Exactly.
In the
move. Mostly
pack them
downhill
to the brim. Plenty of air in the tires. Pack them to the brim.
Do the brakes work?
Yeah. And then you can leave them there and move them when you need to as you get situated in the new place. But I can't say enough about packing and labeling. Like, organization is the biggest thing. Like, and I know the garage, the shop itself is a completely different task than your home. I mean, the home's got all of the art and stuff on it, but
home's easy.
Yeah,
the shop is dense.
The shop is dense, and everything's kind of big and in the air and stuff like that.
Or sharp and heavy and with glass on it. You know,
like your office at home, it's got a lot of stuff and it's all fragile. But that's just like 2 days of packing with paper and boxes and tape and more paper and foam
bins.
Just like a lot of that. The shop is a weird. Like, I moved the lev rack. I have a big lev rack with the 8 foot tall, 4 foot deep, 12 foot long.
That's mine too.
And I will tell you, like, I tried with the taking everything off the shelves. I tried with the forklift lifting the whole thing and kind of moving it around because I just needed to move in the parking lot from one place to another. And it was still the toughest thing to move. And you just have to take it apart. You have to take.
And that's what I was going to do. I figured I could leave the shell boxes, and I can set those up vertically and then strap them to the sides of the truck and then maybe put some bins in them and then strap those down and just call.
Yes. And you need a helping hand for that, because the 8 foot tall, 4 foot deep shelves, they're heavy. They're too heavy to get off, like, kind of by your self, and it's just awkward to hold.
Good to know.
You're gonna need some help with that.
I've got a couple dollies and I've got a forklift, so I figured between those two I could pretty much solo it,
and I did it. And so it's interesting. So I've got, like, I don't know, there's maybe like four hanging shelves, and I, like, put the shelves out to the sides. I couldn't even go completely out to the sides. I had to do like two shelves in the middle, two shelves out to the sides, and I can get the forklift pegs in the middle in between, you know, and I used some rope to tie them off and lifted the whole thing off the ground, and it's wobbly and it's shaky. Yeah. And it's strong and it holds, but it's meant to just hold all of its weight down, just sort of you know, just linear, just up and down. And then when I got to, when I got to the front garage door, it's a, I think it's 10 foot wide door.
Oh yeah. Did you do some jiggling?
And it's 12 foot long shelf.
Oh man.
And you think you can kind of get one edge in and then the other, but because it's 4 feet deep, it took forever. It took back and forth and back and forth. And it just wasn't happening. And you have to kind of like put it down and move the forklift over and put two ends on the dollies and roll around. Like, I can tell you from just trying to move it around, next time I am 100% just taking it all apart. I'm taking it all apart. I mean, thought I could get it over here, but it just.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's basically in its form. Is it, you know, it's pallet rack with
right.
The, yeah. Yes.
I couldn't imagine trying to move one of my pallet racks in the back, let alone my lev rack. You know, I mean, it's like, and plus we all load them up with so much stuff that half the time's just doing that, right? Taking all the stuff, like you said, off the shelves. And then you got to put it all back.
Well, you have to put locks on the verticals because they lift out, right? So you have to put locks on the verticals, don't you?
They do. They're on there already.
Yeah, they have. Oh, that's right. They have those little clips.
They have those little clips that are on there. So you make sure you have the clips. But again, because it's designed to hold all of the weight pulling down.
Yeah.
Down if you put dollies on one end and try to move it around, any little crease in the pavement or whatever will fold it. It'll bend. It's got to be perfectly smooth. You can barely move it around that way.
I'm taking it apart.
Take it apart. I'm telling you, take it apart.
I'm taking it apart.
It's fantastic for weight, you know, vertical weight going down. But anything you just can't.
Just think of this, guys. Think of how we see them at Barrett-Jackson. We see them at SEMA. We see them at some other places. They got to take them apart and put them together for all those events.
Yeah. And I'm sure they figured it out and they've got a couple of guys doing it. Most of my moving was myself, and you can't grab a shelf that's 4 foot wide. You can't get any leverage on it. You know, they're kind of off the ground because they, you could put like your foot underneath it and then try to lift it off, but it just ends up being too heavy and it crushes your foot. And you need two people to do it.
And it's sharp.
Yeah. And it's all sharp. You can put the gloves on. And,
yeah. It's just stamped steel. So.
You know what, Aaron? You need a lev truck.
Yeah. I need a lev truck.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, some dollies, some come along, some, I have the electric winch, you know, the drill winch, which I pulled cars up ramps with a 700 pound winch.
Yeah.
Deadlift things up a ramp.
Oh, listen, I'm with you. Like with some creativity and some tools around, like,
yeah,
you get a long enough remote control. You get a long enough remote on the winch, you could push a car and winch it, and that's the second person, right? Or you could pull with the winch and take some weight off of it.
Over at my warehouse in Arizona, where everything's stuffed in, you know, and this is years ago, 20 years ago, but my Chevelle body was on a body dolly and I needed to move it to the other side. Only one there. And with a winch and a engine hoist, I moved it. But what was in the way was a Corvette convertible. And I lifted it over the top of the Corvette convertible. And at one time, the winch kind of slipped and it was swinging and I'm like going, oh my God, it's gonna blow. And I'm trying to steady it and everything, and I got it and I was like, okay, I'm not doing that again, man.
You didn't put it back. I hope you didn't go back the other direction when you
were no there. I got it out to where it needed to be, and I was just like, oh man, that was so stupid. But we all you know, you,
we've all done it.
You do what you got to do.
Okay, but right? after it was done, you were like a little bit proud of yourself, though,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
you're
like, yeah, that was easy.
Yeah, I knew I could do it. So I don't need a helping hand. Screw that. It took you twice as long and five times as much sweat, but you're like, yeah, I got it.
I'm not. It's like asking for directions. I'm not going to call somebody. I can do this myself. Yeah. Come on.
4 hours.
But you know what? Like, what I didn't say was, there was a forklift sitting there, but I had left the keys at my house. So rather than get in the truck and drive 20 minutes back to the house, you know, it's, oh, I'll just do it this half-assed way. And, you know,
oh my God. Stuff. Well, it's always the half-assed way is just so much more fun. So one of the other solutions is, you know, I have the flatbed trailer and yeah, I could just, you know, put a layer of something on it and tie it all down as best I can, but that's pretty sketchy. So there's an empty 18-foot U-Haul box, an empty one for a couple grand. And I'm thinking, I wonder if I can drag that up on my flatbed trailer, strap that down, and now I've got another box truck.
You know, you think of the big shipping containers, you get the small, the half ones, right?
Yeah.
And they're pretty inexpensive. And technically,
they were.
In Napa, they said you have to put a metal cement slab down, but not if it's on the back of a flatbed on wheels. So if you drop the 20 foot container on the flatbed,
well, I think the U-Haul bed. The U-Haul box is all aluminum, so it's going to be a lot lighter.
Yeah, maybe fiberglass.
Yeah, that's true. Fiberglass and aluminum.
Yeah, yeah,
like where the container is still going to be pretty heavy. So I'm hoping because my weight on that trailer isn't that much. It's a race trailer. So
Over at when Adam Crawley needed to move and we moved stuff around the parking lot, Sean over there just grabs his big forklift and moves everything like full size shipping containers. He picks them up with a forklift and moves them around. He's got them stacked in the parking lot. He's put one on top of the other, and then he's put a car in it. Like he just forklifted from the front and put a car in there on top. And like he's just, it's full on Tetris over there. It is nuts,
man.
I remember seeing all the pictures of like Ken Block's warehouse in Utah with all the, you know, built the whole thing out of shipping containers. Like Sean does that in the parking lot and for storage. Like there's shipping containers at least two stacked high with stuff on top of that. And you have to forklift yourself up to the second level to open the doors to get in there.
That's hilarious.
Hey, but if they had that loading ramp that Aaron has, they could walk up there.
I know one's like short and like really steep, and the other one's like forever long. One of the things I think I'm going to do too is I have a bunch of pallets and I have all the bins. So I'm going to square up the bins on the pallets and stack them and strap them all down. And then I'm just going to take it up with my lift and just put the whole pallet in there, slide it to the back, strap it to the wall, move on.
Yep.
So, Brad Shipping Wheels is familiar with pallets, right? And the beverages and stuff that I have here. That was the lifesaver for me when I moved shops, is I took dead pallets. I stacked as much as I could on dead pallets. And then you said strap it down. But the way to do it is get the really big cellophane wrap. Start at the bottom where the pallet is around the wood. Wrap the whole thing. And then it becomes a big stuck clump.
A brick. That's a good idea.
And it works much better that way. You can wrap the whole thing, you can go around the top. It's good and it keeps everything in place.
You.
And still I have a couple pallets I never even unwrapped of just like old car parts, takeoff parts. And I can move those pallets around, put them on top of the lev rack up there when I out of the way. So pallets are definitely the way to go. It'll be a lifesaver. Okay. If you have a forklift, pallets in your garage are going to be the best thing.
Absolutely. And the nice thing too is you square it up, so everything fits in that truck a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
Cause it's the length of the pallet. So as soon as you organize the pallets, then you just stack those and just do that. And then I could put the long loose stuff like the lev rack, you know, the big long lengths, you know, the beams, I can put those on top, or I can put body parts on top of the pallets. And then take up that last little space, and they're not going to go anywhere because there's a wall of pallets, you know.
Dude, it's going to take you forever though to drive that forklift down the mountain.
One at a time.
Tahoe. I have to leave it in Tahoe. It's so underpowered, and the wheels, it's got those hard wheels, but they're kind of small. I mean, I can't even go over a half inch bump. I got to get a running start, literally.
And then it's so, like hitting
the wall. And I don't have any way to transport that because they're so heavy, and those little wheels really put a lot of downforce, so I can't use my trailer. So I'm probably going to leave it behind at the shop. A forklift, I'm going to leave the car lift and my old welding table, because that's like a 700-pound piece of plate steel. I'm just going to leave that behind too, because it's not worth taking a big piece of plate steel. So my landlord says, we'll work something out for what I leave behind, because he can use it all. So I'm hoping that'll work out, and move on.
So what's your anticipated, when are you trying to be down there by?
Well,
for snow? Oh, wait, too late.
Yeah, no, we didn't get any snow yet. And if I can drive the big trucks with new tires, as long as there's no chain control, I could probably get away with it. I'll bring my car trailer and anything else down early. But basically, I got 2 weeks until we leave for SEMA, because I'm showing a vehicle. So we got to leave on the 26th. And then we're not back to what, like the 6th or 7th of November.
Yeah.
So I'll have a couple weeks after that before I think we're really going to start getting some serious snow. So I don't know. It's a little scary. I'm not worried about the house, because we can always take small loads up and down the mountain in the Jeep or with the small trailer if the weather's decent. But it's
you got to get the big stuff.
How long is your drive between locations?
About 3 hours.
Okay. I was going to say two. So three. That's That gets monotonous after a while. You don't want to take
it already is. Yeah. I've been making daily trips down to Dad's warehouse and looking after my brother. And I've already got a few cars and things down the hill. So at Dad's. Emergency. Yeah.
Once everything's unpacked and then you start to plan on where things are going to go in its final location, a new warehouse or whatever. Yeah. I was up at Rensport and I saw, ran into Dave Merrick, because he's everywhere. He's at every single event and he's got his hands on every single artistic thing in the automotive community. And he was talking about the Lions Museum and design he did there and stuff. And I was like, Adam Carolla's new building that we've been working on, it's now packed with everything because he had to move out of other buildings, and it's just you could barely walk through it, but ultimately it's supposed to be really cool. There we built this great mezzanine area, and it's got the floating staircase and the glass balcony and the full-size tiles, and it's going to look down at the cars and I love Dave for this, but Dave Merrick being Dave is like, I want to come over and see it, and then I want to design it. And I was like, awesome. And I go, it's kind of packed with stuff. And then he's like, no, I think we can do something really cool, like around the cars and the way it's done. And we talked about Bruce Meyer's garage and the Peterson Museum and the Lions Museum that he worked on. And then we laughed and a couple hours came by and I see him again. He's like, yeah, I've been thinking about that garage. And he goes, I want to do that garage. Wow. And he goes, I want to do it all in 3D. So that way, when we sit down and we come up with other ideas, I can take pieces in the program and move them to other sections of the shop. He goes, so I can come up with like a design for the 935 and go, oh, we don't want it in that corner. We want it in that corner. And be like, yeah, that'll take me. It'll be easier to move the whole thing in 3D to do. And I talked to Adam, I was like, Dave Merrick wants to design your shop. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? That's awesome. He's like, yes, let's do that. I go, well, when we get to doing it, it would be great to have his input at least if he can't really actually do it.
The 3D does work out awesome, because years ago when Dave and I were working on a TV show, I told Dave I wanted to do the whole set made out of containers. And we built this whole garage and we would sit there and we'd go, okay, the paint shop will be here. This will be here. And then I'd go, but can we put a deck out here where we could go out and walk out and look out over the desert, And he goes, oh, yeah. And he moves stuff around. And then I go, oh, but we need to have this. And it was so cool because he could just move stuff, put doors here and move entire containers around. And, and then you can spin it around and look at it from
Of course, he had to do all the work ahead of time to make it possible to do that. Right. But once it's in there. He's able to move it around.
Yeah. Well, once you're proficient with that, man, it's it is fairly easy. And things like Blender and all these programs have all these preset things where you can just input a container and it's already a finished container that someone else rendered. You know, it's pretty neat stuff.
And it's actually
like a whole database, you know,
to your point, because we were talking about getting a bunch of lifts and putting the cars up there, but some of the cars don't need to move and we have the forklift. So we were talking about like stacking some containers.
Yeah.
Sort of checkerboard style along a wall and then cutting out some sections and putting cars in the middle. So
like windows, right?
Yeah. Like windows on them and putting the cars in them. Yeah. And then you only kind of have to build that once. And if you really need to get a car down, you forklift it. You just go, you know, you scoop it up and you get to it. You're kind of an
issue. Make sure you get those gas forklift. Right. You don't want to go through the door, you know, but.
Yeah, oops.
Yeah, it's going to be a little tricky, and you're probably going to have dangle somebody from the roof so they could see the pieces, you know, like come together up high because you can't do it all from ground level.
You can have one of those library ladders that just kind of roll through the whole place.
Yeah. So we talked about like, what does it take to build a catwalk in between the, if you build it permanently, you got to do all the permits. But if you stack shipping containers and then do metal walkways with railings from one to the other, it's all freestanding. It's all kind of mobile.
Well, what if you just had a catwalk on a crane system? And you just moved it around as you needed to. So you have one catwalk.
Well, then it's gonna look like system. Donkey Kong with things moving up and down climbing up little ladders and running the other side. And climbing
one of those
up
scissor lifts
ladder.
Is all you need, and it moves. And
there you go. Scissor lift.
You need a scissor lift.
We knew Brad would come up with it, right? Scissor lift. There you go.
I always wanted one of those. I thought that
great.
I mean, they're just so, you can do anything with them. You know, you go up and down, you change light bulbs in the warehouse. You can move stuff on the racks.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wouldn't have fallen off out of the ceiling and broke my elbow in three places and my leg and my foot. It would have been great.
The scissor lift, by the way, does not drive well on Swiss tracks.
Oh, because it sinks, right?
It does. First of all, getting a forklift or a scissor lift, even up the little edge, just the bump of it, just buckles all the Swiss tracks. And so I had to do it the other day. I needed to get way up in the air to mount a nylon strap, and you have to like flatten some boxes, do like two layers of boxes, and then you can drive up under the boxes and get over the bump onto the Swiss tracks. But
if I had a scissor
without getting it all buckle.
I had a scissor lift when I first got it, when it was still novel, Charlotte had come walking in and go, what are you doing? I go, I'm changing this light bulb. She goes, Brad, we're in the front office. I know, but I got a scissor lift.
I got a scissor lift. I would just drive it around in here and into the parking lot.
Exactly.
Take a scissor lift to the diner down the street.
Through the drive-thru. Hey,
And then I get up high. I'm like, throw my burrito up high. Throw it up here.
Let's see how high you can throw. Oops, I dropped my phone. But it's got that fancy case. I think the trick with forklifts and scissor lifts is to get the outdoor ones that have more of the solid rubber tires.
Yeah, you need the tire.
Because they can drive over dirt and you know, shallow gravel and
like they have like in SEMA. Those ones that are scooting around all
in SEMA. Right? They're like three times more, but
they are. So like your forklift that you were explaining, that's a warehouse forklift. That's an indoor forklift.
And it was $300.
Yeah.
There are so many of those running around at SEMA. Aaron, you could take one of your moving trucks, just load it in when nobody's looking.
Driving up that big ramp you got.
Hey, you guys, I was looking at insurance tables. This article I read about insurance, and I thought this was really interesting because between 2020 and 22, it's pretty easy guess, but what do you think topped the most stolen vehicle in the entire nation?
Oh, man.
I think we went through this. I'm going to say
Charger. I don't think it was a
Dodge
pickup
Charger
truck or something.
Well, the last time we talked about it was a Honda Accord. So it's But you're on it, Matt. It's the Dodge Charger Hellcat.
Yeah.
That's really?
Most stolen, and based on insurance claims, 60 times more likely for it to be stolen than any other car on the market. And
wow.
The number two is the Dodge Charger non-Hellcat,
yeah,
with a Hemi motor. So wow. If it's got the Hemi motor, and it's 20 times more likely to be stolen.
Where are used U-Haul trucks on the list? Are they kind of high?
Let me look here. here it is. They are 592 on the list.
Okay, good. 595. But their catalytic converters are pretty high up on the list.
595 is actually scissor lifts. So it's the lowest. But number four is the Challenger, of course.
Wow.
And it says that the Dodge Charger and Challenger have topped the most stolen list. They've been in the top five since 2011. Now, I got a question.
Wow.
What do you guys think about my theory here? That, yes, these are popular. They do get stolen. But how many do you think are stolen versus the guy who went to one of the street takeovers, quarter panel, and then just parked it along the street and said, wow, somebody stole my car, man. I don't know what happened to it.
I see what you're getting at. Yeah. Oh, God. Funny.
Because, I mean, a lot of those cars are, you know, wrecked in these street takeovers. And you gotta wonder. But they, I guess you gotta sleep with one eye open, don't you? You just gotta sit there and.
I wanna say, like, back in March, the Hotchkiss E-Max car was stolen, which is a very cool car there. There's
I remember one of their cars was stolen. Yeah,
yeah, the yellow one. And I think it was just found. And this was back in March. Yeah, when was E-Max was stolen, I think. And yeah, E-Max
did Christy Lee's get found? I don't remember.
In March.
Did that one ever get found?
In Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Yeah, it was stolen like March 19th. And then I think it was just found. It was just part of like a big bust on a whole like stolen car ring going on.
Wow.
And they found it. And I don't know the condition. I don't know the details. I don't think anybody said anything about it yet. But
Andy Leach over at Cal Auto Customs, you guys know him.
Yeah, sure.
He had his aluminum, his aluminum car trailer stolen.
Yeah.
He put up
with cars in it.
No, it was an open car trailer, and his big long one that he hauls his cars, but he probably moves stuff to the painter or stuff around, but it was stolen. And he put up a unique post on social media. He, instead of saying, hey man, my car was stolen, you know, I mean, he did that, but he put up a picture of the spare tire and he goes, hey, whoever stole the tire, you might as well come back and get the tire because you left it behind. I've got it here. And, you know, I don't know if anybody showed up to pick it up though. So,
would have been great if they did.
Hey, I came back to get the tire. You said I
could get that tire.
But you know, you know, this stuff happens all the time, especially at the big car shows. I know Troy Chapanier had his car trailer stole once with a couple customers' cars in it, and usually what they do is they take the whole truck, trailer, everything when they do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's. And sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't. I mean, we had way back had a customer at Boyd's that had a hot rod. He got home late, parked it in his driveway, and then parked his car behind it, thinking, oh, nobody can get it now. And somebody crawled underneath it, underneath the car parked behind it, cut the transmission cable manually just underneath, put it into neutral, rolled that car out into the street, and then stole the hot rod. And so if they want it, they're going to get it.
Yeah, yeah. If they want it, that they're going to get it. You know, a lot of people have been posting too. Brian Clock, his truck, I don't know if there's a trailer, but his truck got stolen and they found it, you know, I think in another state, all partially disassembled. I mean, it's running rampant. And, you know, every year at SEMA, it seems that someone's like, yeah, I think Kicker last year, or the year before, their truck and trailer disappeared. I think, yeah, every year it's like, it's just,
it seems like every power tour, somebody has a trailer taken from a parking lot.
If you want to steal a trailer, SEMA's the place, because people, I mean, I always thought about it with my trailer when I would take a car there. You know, I would always back it up to a pole. I had this big giant cable lock. I'd put it through the wheels and around the pole, but it's just a crapshoot because you leave, you go to the show, you don't come back for a week and a half, you know? And it's,
it's a real bummer. It's really a shame. There's so many people, you know, behaving badly these days everywhere, everywhere.
Now, the result of that is I've just been shopping for new car insurance for my truck, my Ford Lightning, and maybe it's nationwide, but especially in California, it's $4,000 a year.
Your insurance is
$4,000 a year. I haven't had a ticket. I haven't had anything, any blemishes on my record since I was, forever. And it's basically $4,000 a year.
That's criminal, man. That's just criminal.
Well, it's because of your zip code. And what are the theft rates on that truck? Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
Cars, they're saying, are stolen less because they're usually parked inside to charge and they're, things like that. But
yeah, I don't think it's a high theft rate on the truck. I think there's a couple factors. One is, in California, the amount of uninsured motorists that insurance companies do have to pay for, which means us who pay our bills have to pay for all of those people. The thefts, for sure. And then there is a little bit of an issue with EVs, in that because so many car companies are essentially taking a loss on the new car sales, you're going to get a Chevy Bolt for $35,000, but if it needs a new battery, it's $32,000, right?
Yeah.
So because the company took a loss on it, but the insurance company gets a bill.
Replacement cost.
For $32,000 for a battery or whatever the cost is, it's ridiculous amount. So some people are sort of complaining about that, but when you look at the numbers, there's still just not enough battery powered vehicles for it to really make that much of a difference. At this point, it's just so many, not to bring all the politics into it, but so many unlicensed drivers, uninsured drivers, and uninsured motorists. And every time there's an accident or something, the insured motorists pay for all of that.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Always.
It's a mess.
Now, are you sure it's not because every time we see you driving around, you got a Bravago in your hand and you're like, wait a minute, I think this guy's drinking and driving.
It's not me, but I was driving down the road here in Venice, and I was sitting in my truck, and then a guy was sitting, like a 10-year-old Chevy Silverado was next to me, windows down. The guy had the windows down. And he's just straight up drinking a Modelo while he's driving. He's just drinking
just a
bottle of beer, right? And then
it's ginger ale. I was just using the bottle.
Yeah. he just grabs it, keeps it in his cup holder, is drinking his beer, not a care in the world. And then talk about luck going to the wrong people. We're at a light. He turns right and goes into a neighborhood, like kind of cuts through a neighborhood. I go straight. Soon as I get around the corner, cops everywhere setting up a DUI checkpoint. They're bringing out cones and setting it all up. There was 30 cops out there. It was almost like a DUI checkpoint training session because they had a bunch of people out there. And I'm not saying this guy would have got caught, but he really would have shit his pants.
Yeah.
He would have been like, I'm drinking a beer. I could put it under my seat, spill it on the floor, like whatever.
But that's not unusual because time I walk into 7-Eleven or Circle K, there are gardeners in there buying either a 40-ouncer or those 3-packs of, beer. And then they proceed to walk out to their truck and open one up. And I'm thinking, I stay away from gardener trucks. I mean, because I don't want them to hit me. And
yeah, but Brad, it's a light beer. It's fine.
He may not have strapped down those tools, and I don't want them falling. I want a lawnmower falling on my car.
You don't want a lawnmower falling on it. Oh, he didn't strap down the tools, but you ejected a sunroof and threw it at whoever was behind you. So that was a little different.
Come on, and some side molding, you know. But
Like, oh my god, a piece of rubber.
And out here, the other part that I can't quite figure out is whenever you're sitting in traffic, especially at the end of the day, in the morning as well, but at the end of the day, if you're in 5 o'clock traffic, if you're on the 405 or the 101, it just smells like weed.
I was like, just going to say, everybody's stoned because
everybody's just smoking. Everybody's smoking. And like every time I get in my car and I get on the freeway, I have to turn the air recirc on, because if you just get outside air, it just smells like weed. It's like there's so much. It just smells
that's
like
how Tahoe was for years.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. That's how Tahoe's been for years. Yeah. And as soon as they passed the law, you know, or retracted the law, then it was so bad. It's like I would drive home and it's like I'm just behind three Toyota trucks. I'm like, which one is it? That, or maybe it's all
it's
three.
It's all three. That's what the,
but
that's
it's
the trick.
It was horrible. It's a little less now, oddly enough. I smell it walking by the shop sometimes, because people always walk by the shop and smoke. But it's less. I think with all the Bay Area people moving up here, it's changed a bit. But
maybe there's just more vaping or gummies happening. But
yeah, I think so. Yeah, everybody's chewing. Friday, though. Everybody's like chewing gum.
Yeah, like why has everybody got bags of gummy bears?
Yeah,
but just like you said, brownies. Matt, last Friday, I'm driving home and I worked late, and I'm driving home and there's this dude on the freeway and he's just driving like about 45 miles an hour, and you know, we all know that LA 45 mile an hour, you might as well be walking, you know.
Yeah, right.
And I got up alongside him, and you could just tell he's got his head kind of back, and you can just saw squinty. I'm like, that dude's stoned out of his head, man. You know,
it's
yeah.
Still illegal, people. It's still illegal.
I know. Yeah. It's like drinking and driving, but yeah, it's crazy. So, hey, yeah. I know we gotta wrap this show up, but before we do, I wanted to run down. You guys know that I'm a big muscle car freak, and but I've been looking at some prices at the auctions, and we talk about Bear Jackson a lot, but I was looking at Mecum because they had their Indy Fall Classic and their Dallas auctions. And I wanted to kind of take a peek at what sales were going for, and they're still strong. Here's a couple that I just saw you guys might be interested in. A 70 Boss 302. And now it didn't look like the most perfect car. And from the price, it probably wasn't, but $130,000. But Matt, tell me about this one. A 2022 GT500 Shelby.
Yeah.
What should it be worth? What do you think?
A
1100 miles on the odometer. So it's brand new.
Yeah. If it's a track pack carbon fiber car, it's close to I don't know there was a while they were getting a little over a sticker. Maybe 100,000.
93.5.
Yeah, so, that's right around there. Yeah.
Consistent, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was a 68 Chevelle, and these are all Indy, by the way. 68 Chevelle with an LS and a 6-speed, but it didn't have any like nice billet wheels on it. It had like cast wheels and stuff. $100,000. Now, Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to this one. A 65 GT350 Shelby. And this car looked nice. $522,005. So that thing, I remember when you.
So that's big money for that
cars.
Car.
What's that? That's a lot.
That's big
of money
for that car, because our model, which they only made like 31 of not too long ago, was $600,000.
Yeah.
You know, a non R model for $500,000 is big money. I mean, listen, great for the Shelby brand.
Oh yeah. And they're not going to make any more, you know, I mean, they're making,
I've been told that's
but they're not making,
that's what
any.
I've been told. Yeah.
Okay. Now this is a no sale because Mecum does let you put reserves on a 2020 McLaren Speedtail. This is not a muscle car, but it's still a car we've talked about. And I know I love them. I think you guys like them too.
Yeah. I want to guess that should be around $2.5 million.
It was no sale at $2 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They were off by about $500,000, I think. Yeah.
Now the last two I want to tell you about, 69 Camaro Berger. Berger was like my motion car, another performance dealer built those. And, but this was an SS COPO, meaning it had a 427. They made just a handful of them. 170,500. Wow. Actually, I think was below the money. Yeah. The last one we're going to talk about, because I know we got to wrap it up, a 2023 Bronco Raptor, $82,000.
Wow.
So
you know, the Broncos are what the, they're 80 or 90 retail now with the markup, aren't they?
Yeah, I think he paid about sticker. They just didn't have to wait.
That's what it seemed like to me, right?
Yeah.
If he paid a big markup on that thing, he lost money.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, hey, I got one.
Get it.
So. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, Aaron's got to get moving, get to his second job here and moving company. But hey, thanks for listening. And, you know, you've heard us talk about where you can find us. Go online, find us, and we'll be back next week. That's a promise, not a threat. Thanks, everybody.
Cheers.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.